In today's series, we have Adenike Ogunlesi, the founder of Gatimo Apparel and Rough and Tumble. Adenike founded Rough and Tumble in 1996, and the company has now become the leading designer, manufacturer, and retailer of children's clothing in Nigeria. Gatimo Apparel is a fashion brand that is currently manufacturing face masks and other personal protective wear in the fight against COVID. Interviewing her on this series is Oyin Lewis. Oyin is the founder and creative director of Purple Lagos, a highly sought-after fashion design brand that specializes in custom-made wedding dresses and glamorous occasion wear. Join us as we listen to their journeys in entrepreneurship within the fashion industry.
Good morning. This is Journeys in Entrepreneurship by Faith Foundation. This morning, we'll be interviewing the delectable, beautiful, smart Mrs. Nike Ogunlesi, who's the founder and visionaire of Rough and Tumble. Good morning, Mrs. Ogunlesi.
Good
How are
morning.
You today?
Thank you for that beautiful introduction.
Yes. How are you doing this morning?
Wonderful as always. Thank
okay.
you.
All
and
right.
yourself?
Very well.
Good.
So we're looking forward to a beautiful interview with you.
So am I.
Yes. And I have a couple of questions for you. Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
Always ready. Wow. Yes. She's old. Miss Ogunlesi is always ready. The smart Miss Ogunlesi is always ready. Okay, my first question for you, Miss Ogunlesi, will be, I'm sure you've heard it so many times, but for the benefit of entrepreneurs who would, you know, listen to this after you're long gone, please answer it from the point of view you stand now. How did you start your business? What were your push factors and what opportunities did you identify when you started your business?
Okay, so it was a very interesting time in my life. I was transitioning from living, working alone to becoming a mother, a wife. So my life was transitioning into these new roles, and I had to find a way to make it all come together and work together. I didn't want to forgo one for the other. I wanted to find a way for it all to work together. So what happened was I found, with my last pregnancy, I found the business I was in, which was actually my first career, was in women's clothing. Mm. And I did that from about the time I was 18 till about the time I was almost 30. It was very demanding, so I totally understand what you're going through. Women are great to have as customers, but when they can't decide on what to eat and when to eat it in between fittings, I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. Mm. Bust lines change, waist lines change, hip lines change. I was kind of getting a bit tired of doing that. And I decided to take a break in terms of just slowing down what I was doing, because I had three small children. I had a family. I come from a polygamous background, and I had a totally different vision of my own life. And the vision for my own life was that I was going to get married, stay married, and be happily married, and have a relationship with my children. And something I had to figure a way to find the way they would integrate together so that I could live the life that I wanted to live. So from a very early age in my life, I was always driven by a vision of what I wanted to achieve. I was always driven by having a plan. I was always driven by having clarity on what that plan is and what I would need to do to make that plan a reality. So I got into the children's clothing business quite by accident, because my children needed clothing. Young family, we had three small children. They needed pajamas. Three small children, cotton pajamas, not available anywhere. And you know, because of what I was already doing, I just decided to buy some cotton fabric, make pajamas for my children. I tell one other person, you know, and my sister-in-law, Nene, who had, her daughter had a asthma thing. You know, why am I saying that? Because people live and people need solutions for everyday living. So opportunities always exist every day, but are you open to those opportunities? Do you see them? Are you in tune when those opportunities come by? So when I say I'm always ready, I'm ready. I am always ready. Because, you know, as they say, angels are always passing by. Are you ready to entertain them? Or are you going to be complaining about everything that's not working around you? So where is your focus? Where is your energy? Your energy needs to go, you know, wherever it is your focus is, your energy is going to follow it, you know. So that's how I accidentally ended up in the children's clothing business. My sister-in-law was a catalyst. She asked me to make 7 for her. And I just thought to myself, who is out there? Who has this need? And I decided to do, at the time, I didn't realize it was a market research. I decided just to go up and down Allen Avenue, you know, Awolowo Road. Who is doing what in this industry? You know who the players are. What are they doing? What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? So that if you decide to go into it, you know, what can you carve out for yourself that distinguishes you from the pack? There must always be that thing that you bring to the table that has an element of surprise and an element of interest and intrigue, or is different, you know, and sets you apart. And that was it. It was going to be locally made clothing. Yes. Pajamas at the time. Only. And then my husband just said to me one day, don't limit yourself, you know. What else can you do? And so I took my children's clothes apart. And for me, it's always been, use what you have to get what you want. So don't start looking for what you don't have. Look to what you have. How can you use what you're currently holding in the space that you are in? What can you use there to get what it is that you want? And so there are many life lessons in the journey of a life of entrepreneurship. But I think one of the most important things is that you must be clear on what it is that you want. You must be true to yourself. You must be in a space where you are driven by something that is bigger than yourself. And at the time, the big challenge was, who was going to buy children's clothes that were locally made? I said, you haven't seen mine, that's why you're saying that. That in Nigeria, it is possible to have good quality products produced in Nigeria. And I'm going to prove that it is possible. And I've done it.
Yes, you've more than done it, I must say. Well done, Mr. Ogunlesi. But from everything you've said, for you to have clarity, there's a level of self-awareness that an individual must possess. What was your self-development journey? How did you start? Can you tell us how you did it?
I'll tell you the end result, which is that there's nothing more powerful or more beautiful than a woman that loves herself and knows herself. Trust me, there isn't. There isn't a better place to be on the planet as a woman. But it's a journey, and it's a journey of progress. It can be a very painful journey because you will confront, on the journey of awareness, you will confront your past. You will be present in your present. And you will be creating your future by being present in the present. Because if you're not present, you cannot create the future. If you live in the past, you cannot create the future. So you have to be aware in the space and place where you are, and aware of how you as a person are feeling. What are the things that drive you? Who are you? Who do you wish to be? You can be, do, have anything that you want. Anything at all. But you must know what it is that you want. So for me, I broke it down into 3 spaces. Who am I? And who do I want to become? And who do I need to become to be able to go on this journey that is bigger than I am? Because I believe, honestly, that Rough and Tumble is actually a platform that allows people to find expression in who they are and be the best form of who they are, or expression of who they are. I think also that it's a platform that showcases what is possible in Nigeria, in this industry. So it's something that is way bigger than who I am. And so it's what I'm giving back to a generation such as yourself to say, the journey may be daunting, but it is possible. It's who do you want to become to be worthy of going on that journey? Who do you have to become to be worthy of going on that journey? And those are the questions that you have to ask yourself. You really have to face yourself. Look at yourself. What are my strengths? what are my areas of learning. I don't like to call them weaknesses because I feel that we become the words that we use. So I'm very conscious and very careful of the words that I use. Again, it's something I had to learn, you know. I also had to learn a lot of leadership lessons because I used to be what is called an intimidating hummer, which is the kind of person who you clear the way for what you want to do. That nothing is going to stop you from doing that thing. But as you scale a business and as you grow, you have to begin to depend on people. And you have to begin to learn to trust a system, no matter how long it lets you down. I'm still in that space. And it's still a learning process for me. I wouldn't say that I'm 100%, because I feel that the dynamics of our lives at different points in our lives bring new lessons. Again, are we present? When you are present, you will feel the things that are around you and you will be able to respond to them accordingly in the way that is best suited for yourself and for the journey that you are going to take. I believe, again, that everybody comes to the world with a talent. The great book of life, the Bible, tells us everybody has a talent. What do you choose to do with that talent? As I always tell all the young people that are with me, you say, I have no choice. You do. When you decide not to do anything, it's a choice. When you sit on the fence, it's a choice. What you want to do is to be deliberate and intentional about the choices that you're making in your life so that you know that they are taking you towards the life you want to live and the person you want to be. That's what's most important. So you can't go on this journey. It all begins with you. It begins with you taking that inward journey. I always say that the door to life opens from within you. And when you can open that journey and be honest, open and transparent, the beautiful thing about life is everybody that you need to help you on that journey will show up. And the ones that are supposed to be a thorn in your flesh will also show up.
Now, you've talked about your journey, your, you know, self-development journey. But I have a question. There are entrepreneurs who are very uncomfortable in their skin. And when they decide to take this journey, they get so uncomfortable with what they find that they stop it. What would you say to encourage such people? Because everything starts from inside of you. And the leader that you'd ever be outside or whatever brand you build will always start from inside of you. What would you tell that person who is so uncomfortable with what they're finding and can't, you know, lean in? That's the word.
I would say, learn to love yourself. Learn to slow down. Learn to deaden the noises that say you're not good enough, the noises that remind you of the negative things you were told as a child. Learn to create a new narrative for yourself. It can be a very uncomfortable journey. I would also suggest you walk through that journey with a therapist. There's some fantastic therapists now in Nigeria. I have a whole list of them. They're fantastic, fantastic people. Professional. They're very professional about what they do. They have the training. I've done a lot of the training myself. I was driven to doing it because I also needed to unravel the person, this woman. I wanted to unravel her. And so it led me down that way. So I met some amazing, amazing, amazing people. So I would suggest that you love yourself. You accept yourself. You start to journal, which is something I started about. I started when my mother died, about 6 or 7 years ago. She was a big anchor in my life, and I didn't realize how deep of an anchor she was. So I had to learn to let her go and sort of like reinvent or recreate myself, you know, without her in the picture. I would also suggest that you define the values that you want to live by. My mother used to tell me one thing, unto thine own self be true. It has nothing to do with anybody but you. Nothing. You came alone and you're going to go alone. You know, so it has nothing to do with anybody but yourself. The first thing you must learn to do is love who you are. Love your thighs. Love your feet. Love your hair, your own real hair. Love your face. Don't want to be anybody else. You know, don't get confused about what the media is telling you. Look at the media. You can hear it if you want, but you decide. You decide. The greatest power you have as a human being is the power of choice. The power to decide the things that you want to do in your life. You want to hear, you want to listen to. There's no television in my house. I don't watch TV. It's a conscious decision. My daughter was home a few days ago, and she was saying, Mama, why are you living without a TV? I don't need to hear all that negative stuff. I want to hear things that are positive, that are encouraging me, that are moving me forward, that are helping me on the journey that I'm taking. That's what I want to hear. So you need to empower yourself with people who are supportive of the journey that you're taking as well. Some people will laugh at you. Now when I say things like congruence, I have a friend that laughs at me. Alignment. But that is it. If you do not have that congruence or alignment, you won't know what true happiness is. And if you don't go on that journey, you won't find congruence or alignment. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you, Mr. Ogunlesi. Every business is obviously a dream baby. So you have a vision. You definitely want to be the best at it, as you said. And you know, show people possibilities of what can be from what you've done. So I have a few questions for you. How did you decide on what business model worked for you along the line? Then how did you find funding? Did you bootstrap from the onset? Did you find support from your husband who encouraged you to do other things? Did you do bank financing? How do you structure for efficiency in your flagship store before you began to scale?
Okay, that's a lot of questions.
So let's do the first
one. But all of the above. Bootstrapping, oh yes. Okay. I used to be very frugal in those days. So the money I made from the women's clothing, I had invested in a fund with Merrill Lynch, which was in dollars in those days. And what I then did was to sell the entire portfolio to start Rough and Tumble. Had I not sold it, it would probably be worth a lot more than it is. Really worth a lot, but I wouldn't have this. I may not have had this. So that's where it all began. I sold that fund and reinvested it in what I wanted to do because I believed in what I wanted to do. And I trusted myself that I would try and manage it the best way possible so that it would grow. I was inspired by great international brands, Benetton, people who have brands that have made a huge success of themselves. I remember sitting in a Benetton store in Florence and I sat on the floor and the lady came up to me and said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Nothing." She said, "But why are you sitting on the floor?" I said, "You know what, I'm trying to take this space in because I'm going to open a shop just like this in my country." And she goes, "Wow, good for you. Okay then, no problem. Italians, free people, they don't care." You know, I wasn't disturbing anybody. And I sat in that space and I absorbed it. The white walls, the beautiful splash of color as a contrast to all the color, backdrop for the contrast of color to be showcased. And the colors would just pop against the white. So everything here is white. And all our stores are white. And the colors, we're Africans. Yes. We love color. The brighter, the better, you know. And white is an amazing background to allow that color to pop. But going back to funding, as I said, all of the above, the most challenging one was getting to understand the way the banks functioned. Because, I mean, I don't have a finance degree or anything like that. But I know how to add money. I may not know all the intricacies of the balance sheet, but I know how to plus and minus. Right. I can do that one any amount off my head. I'm good at that. But the thing was this, understanding what the banks required and what I needed to then put in place to ensure that the banks could trust what I was doing is where I think a lot of people tend to get mistaken. The bank doesn't owe you anything. You have to put yourself in a position where the bank can collaborate with you on your project, even though you're going to end up paying them an arm, a leg, and a pint of blood in the interest rates that they charge, which are so unfriendly and can be very challenging. The thing is, once you understand the way they work, you structure yourself in a way that you can then take advantage of what they're offering. And that's what I did. So I remember wanting an overdraft of 1 million naira. And the bank manager at the time telling me that, oh, I shouldn't disturb everybody. I should ask my husband for the money. I had never been so insulted in my entire life, you know. And I didn't say anything. I left their office. I simply just closed the account and moved to another bank. And I'm emotional about moving banks. If you cannot give me what it is I want, I also had to learn how to negotiate. As an entrepreneur, entrepreneurship comes with you have to consistently tool yourself. Tool yourself where you can't and you know that it's not something you can do. You find somebody who has that strength. You collaborate with that person to move yourself forward. That's the best strategy for me. Business model evolved. I wanted to do only made in Nigeria. I very quickly discovered that there are many limiting factors that will not permit me to do only made in Nigeria. And the customer base wanted a lot more than my little factory at the time could produce. So I had a choice. Do I close shop or limit myself, or do I expand my horizons? So who are international collaborators that I can collaborate with, that we can stock along with the Rough and Tumble brand, and you would never know the difference. So that was my goal.
Okay. Ms. Ogunlesi, did you have any regulatory bodies who came to you at the start, or did you have to go to anyone's? What did you do for regulatory approvals for your business at the start?
None that I'm aware of. The things I was conscious of was to make sure I was registered as a company, make sure I had trademarked because I wanted to build a brand, made sure I was paying the taxes that I needed to pay, made sure I was doing the pensions and all those other regulatory things, which a lot of small businesses tend not to do, which you really should do. Find a way to make it work. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a bit about the business environment you're working in, the Nigerian business environment. It's volatile, it's uncertain, it could be complex and ambiguous. From car boats to a flagship store to retail locations all over Nigeria, how did you evolve your dream to what it is now?
Yes, Nigeria is very VUCA. It really is. But one of the things I learned, again, it comes back to self. Everything begins with you. It begins with the kind of mindset that you have and the kind of mindset with which you approach whatever it is that is happening, whatever the challenge is or whatever the situation is. So for me, I was always clear about what I wanted. There have been a lot of inconsistencies in government policy that have not been friendly and have not supported us. But there is a new awakening and there's a new realization that the garment industry actually has the potential and the possibility of creating unemployment in an actually short frame of time, because everybody has to wear clothing. Nobody's going to walk down the street naked. Everybody's going to wear clothes. So one of the things I learned was that my circumstances must never define whatever it is I want to do. While I am aware of my circumstances, I must be that person that seeks and finds solutions. So there is a government policy that says you can't do this. So then what can we do? Setting up and scaling up was very challenging, but I wanted to do it. Have we had setbacks because of it? Yes, definitely. Definitely. But I also learned one thing. I learned to question my leadership, because within this same environment, there are people who are making a huge success of what they are doing. So the fish rots from the head. So what was I as a leader? What was I doing and what did I need to do? Who did I need to become? I realized I needed to tool myself in leadership skills, understanding people, managing people, achieving results through people, emotional intelligence, social intelligence. These were skills that I needed to make sure that I was on a journey. Your personal development plan again comes to play, because you need to build mental toughness. If you don't know anything, you can't teach people anything. If you are not mentally tough, you cannot, the people behind you cannot mirror what you're doing, that behavior, you know? So I think, again, I believe in possibilities. Everything and anything is possible. And if you approach everything with that open-mindedness, yes, and that mindset that says, I can do this. You know, I just haven't found the way yet. And I keep going till I find the way, you know. So long as I can track progress and I can see that I'm not where I was yesterday. I'm not where I was 2 hours ago. I've come to learn to appreciate progress, to recognize it and appreciate progress as part of the process to the end goal that I want. So I think all those things together is what makes me feel I can do this here. And besides which, who says that I can't?
No one.
Exactly.
Absolutely no
so
one.
So why is the Manilaba market, which is a $4.8 billion
industry,
what does he see that I don't see? What does he see that my own, perhaps my education or my background is blocking me from seeing? So perhaps I need to look at the world from a different lens and believe that something else is possible because it's possible for these people. So if it's possible for them, then it's equally possible for me. I just have to find my own way that is true to who I am so that I can approach it with more ease than pain. And it doesn't have to be painful. But we make it painful and we believe that it is painful because we've been socially conditioned to believe that. Which is why I said, you must have a different narrative for yourself. You must build, literally reconstruct your narrative and remind yourself through journaling. Every day, remind yourself who you are, what you're capable from, where your energy comes from, where your focus is, what you want to do, you know. I can't live any other way. You know, it's health, wealth, people, relationships, career, spirituality. You have to find congruence in that space. And I believe life's journey is about finding congruence in all those places.
Taking all of that in before I ask the next question, because what I've seen from everything you've said is it's really a journey of self.
It is.
It's really
a journey that begins with
self,
but ends with the service of humanity. So it begins with you, but it is actually the end game is to serve, and it's to serve a much bigger audience than yourself. You can only wear one watch, only one pair of shoes, live in only one house, sleep in only one bed at the end of the day. And you're going to be buried in the same size coffin as every other human being. It's not going to be bigger. It's not going to be smaller. You know. But the thing is, they dig the ground the same depth, except you're a Muslim. Then it's even shallower. You know. So let's get the priorities right. Let's focus on our energies in building a society where there is hope for as many people as possible. It would get very lonely if you're the only rich man in the street and it's only your generator that comes on. You know? Yeah. So we want to build a society where everything and anything is possible for those who dare and those who believe that it's possible for them.
See,
I got you too, girl.
So talking about legacy building, your foundation, Better Ill Foundation, is named after your loving, industrious mom.
Yes.
That you talked about so passionately in the beginning of this interview.
Yes.
What, with the legacy your mom left behind for you, I know there was hard work, there was creative freedom, there was a lot of things. What legacy would you like to leave for the generation of women who particularly want to have it all?
And why shouldn't you?
No reason.
And who defined having it all? Whose definition of having it all? Your definition of having it all and mine are maybe totally different. So whose definition of having it all are we following? So first of all, make sure it's your definition of having it all. It's got nothing to do with anybody else. I think for me, that's the most important thing. What is the legacy I would like to live? Oh, that I lived a life that was worth living, that was accountable. I lived a life that was free. I lived a life that was uplifting. I lived a life that was a force for good. that I lived a life that was an enabler, a catalyst, a woman of vision, that I lived a life of possibilities, you know, and I encourage everybody else to live that kind of life, that you should dare to dream. Where you are in a place, you're in a place for a reason. Ask yourself, why am I here? What do I need to learn and what do I need to contribute? I've lived an amazing life and I'm asking myself, what do I need to contribute? And I will always want to contribute because that is naturally who I am. I like to give because giving for me is a fantastic way of setting me free. I am open to everything but attached to nothing. In the words of, I forget who it was actually, who said it, Rumi, and is an old scholar, you know, open to everything but attached to nothing. So there's no need to grab everything, you know. Give. It doesn't cost you anything to give. It doesn't cost you anything to share. In fact, it is the most uplifting thing that you can do as a human being. And it's about, you know, making a difference in the lives of humanity. Those that come across, those that cross your path, and those that you don't even know. You know, so for me, the foundation is important. It has a very fantastic, energetic lead who wants to do great things with it. And I'm sure that she will.
She will. Okay. So you talked about tracking your progress, journaling, you know, celebrating yourself. Can we talk a bit about your milestones? What would you say your major milestones have been from the start of your business up till now?
My major milestones. Oh my God. My major milestones. Have I forgotten them? Because I'm always looking for new milestones, you see. I think it was a major milestone going from a store that was literally 4 meters by 3 meters to a whole building across the road. As we say, levels have changed.
Yeah.
This one now, that rent was maybe 1 million. Mm-hmm. This one now, the rent is like five million,
yeah.
You know? So I think that was a major milestone for me. It was a major milestone. I'm moving from where I was to this building. This was a major milestone in my life because I always imagined myself in a glass office. And I'm privileged to have made it a dream come true and a reality. It's a major milestone. I think the development of myself, the growth of myself, the commitment to the growth of myself as a human being, first of all, outside of anything else. I think that for me also has been a major milestone. I think finding good people to work with is also a major milestone because, you know, together you can do more. Alone, there's only so far you can go, you know, but with more people that are on track with you, understand the vision, love what you're doing, want to be a part of it. I think it's a major milestone. I think it's a major milestone. Yeah, I can't think of anything right now.
How about product? You've talked about place. You've talked about people. How about your products? Any major milestones?
Major milestones. Your major milestones there. Finding technical partners from Sri Lanka, and the quality of our products have gone up. Amazing.
Notches higher.
Oh, like notches.
Notches.
Yes. Mm. Higher. That for me too is a major milestone. Major milestone. New major milestone is purchase of land on the expressway, 2 hectares of land to build a new facility and a new
congratulations.
Factory. So you don't get headaches. You let people who know about production deal with production. You focus on your brand, creating your brand. Making it a global brand, because that's what we want to see.
When is the project delivery
time?
It's
still in its very early stages. I'm looking for financial partners now, finance entrepreneurs, fashion entrepreneurs, who will invest along with us in it. Yes, I feel it has a lot of potential. They've done one in Ghana, but it only does t-shirts. And right now they're shipping out 8 containers of 40-foot t-shirts to America, 1 hour away from us. Anything is possible. You just have to dream it, and you have to just be willing to do the work that makes it happen.
That makes it happen. What should be your parting words today for me, first of all, and then everyone who's going to watch this?
There's so many words. Oh my God. But I think my big word would still be that the journey begins with you. What you decide, the choices you make, who you decide to be, the value system you decide to adopt and live by and be accountable to and for, I think you know, those would be the words I would want to leave you with. That once you know who you are, you enter a space and you own the space. That's why I said, you know, there is nothing more beautiful than a woman who loves herself and knows who she is. There's nothing more beautiful in that space. So things take time. I'm also learning that, because I used to clear people out of the way to do what I want to do. Yeah. It's not the best. I've come to learn that. Not everybody is on the same level as you. Not everybody is on the same pace with you. Be unapologetic about who you are. Be unapologetic about your standards. Stick to your standards. Don't struggle with putting square pegs into round holes. Set them free to go and be the best version of themselves wherever they can be. Don't hold on to things longer than you need to. So there's a lot to say. That's last words. There's a lot to say. You know, it's, but be true to yourself. I think the words that come to my mind are always my mother's words: unto thine own self be true. Because once you find that truth, and once you can live that truth, everything falls in place like a jigsaw puzzle, you know, and you find true congruence and alignment, and you live your best life. Not for anybody,
for you. For you. I felt that. For you.
Yes, for you.
For you.
I seem to be the only person talking, so I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Okay, yeah? Let's see if I can answer them.
Okay, so here we go. Why did you start? Why did you go into wedding dresses? Why wedding dresses?
I'd done different types of dresses for like 2 years. And I got to a point where I liked to make dresses, but I got to a point where I didn't understand why I was making these dresses anymore. So I took out time. I took out a year to find out what I really wanted to do. And at that time, I connected the dots. When I was a child, all I used to do was sketch wedding dresses, watch no TV, without any experience, sketch really nice wedding dresses, make wedding dresses for my dolls with my mom's fabric. And you know, finding that out in that year, you know, there was a rush of energy that, you know, came upon me, so to say. So I thought it was the best thing to do that. I wasn't doing the wrong business, but I was in the wrong market at the time. So that's why I started.
So you needed to just realign yourself.
Realign myself.
That's a fantastic story. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So what is your capacity? How many tailors do you have?
Currently have 15.
How many wedding dresses do you make in a month?
10.
Wedding dresses are kind of tough to make because you've got many layers, many, many, many layers.
Very tough.
And you have different size busts, waists.
Very tough. I'll say it's a bit challenging because sometimes the brides, you know, measure at 6 months before the wedding and come back for the fitting pregnant. So you'd...
Oh, no.
So
do you bill them for that?
Oh, yes, I do. But
good
even
girl.
More than the billing, it's a bit cumbersome because we've already tailored the dresses to a particular size, fit, and built, you know, for the dresses. So taking the dresses apart are, like, so challenging for us. Sometimes they have to make new ones, which their family have to pay for.
Well, at least you have that option,
yes.
and they can do that. So what's your vision for the wedding dress industry, that segment of the industry? What's your vision for that?
Okay, so just recently I found it's been difficult doing bespoke hair. So I had to sit down and, you know, go back to the drawing book. What do I really want to do? So I've decided that I want to just be the bride's best friend.
Fantastic.
And what that just means is from start to finish, be that, let my company, you know, carry that brand image of being the bride's best friend that provides everything for the bride stresslessly and easily. So what I'm going to do is make wedding dresses, retail wedding dresses, and I have accessories to go with so that it will be a one-stop shop for brides locally.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, don't say locally. We have the whole of West Africa.
Okay.
There's potential.
No, what I mean is start from here.
Yes, and then ship.
Yes, start from here and then ship to other places.
It sounds like you're enjoying what you're doing.
Yes, I do, actually.
So when do you have off days? What happens? We're in the same industry, so I know about the off days. So when that happens, what do you do?
What do I do? I do what I have to do. Like, I had an off day this morning, but I showed up for the interview. So I just show up when I have to. And, you know, obviously I have help as well. So I call on different people in the industry to help as well.
Okay.
So I pass work once there's once I have off days with production. But off days with the bride, I've learned to say nothing at the time and let that moment of anger pass. And then make sound decisions, because I noticed that decisions I've made at, you know, anger points haven't, you know.
Don't worry, I learned that too. We all learn it.
Yes, haven't been the best.
Yeah.
So I've always waited for the moment to pass and then take sound decisions, which has always paid off for me and the other party.
Okay. Sounds like a very good plan.
Okay.
I wish you all the best. One of the things that I must say that I love most about your generation is your ability and your capacity to collaborate with each other.
Mm.
It's unfortunately didn't happen so much in my own generation, but in your generation, you seem to have that capacity. And I think that's a gift.
Mm.
I see it in my daughters too. You know, when I say I have the small chops person that would deliver, they say, no, we're not using that, we're not doing that. We have a friend who started the business. She's the one we're going to use. Mm. Whether she arrives 3 hours late
or
whether
not,
they don't care. They're collaborating, they're supporting each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the biggest gifts that women can give each other.
Mm.
And men are very good at collaborating.
Mm.
They're very good at working together, at focusing on the bigger picture.
And the goal.
And the goal. So I think that's one of the things I would encourage in the younger generation. To keep focusing on the bigger goal. That, you know, I heard MKO Abiola say it one day, meaning that the sky is big enough for all the birds in on the planet.
Mm.
So there is enough space for everybody, so we should all collaborate.
Mm.
And I think that's a fantastic thing that you're doing in your space, and you can champion that and lead that as well.
Yes.
Well done.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Ogunlesi, for your time. More than anything, for the viewers, even for me, it's been such a beautiful time with you. I've learned, I've unlearned, and I feel energized to make my next move. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. Thank you, too. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Journeys in Entrepreneurship. This interview was recorded on the 23rd of August, 2019, at the Rough and Tumble head office, Ikeja, Lagos. Journeys in Entrepreneurship's executive producer is Adenike Adeyemi. Our technical producer and director is Elo Iyamu. This series was reviewed by Miriam Adeoti, Seishaya Shogbeson, and Loretta Ihel Mere. The artwork and design was done by Kingsley Effion, while the video production and editing was by UVisual. The theme song for this series, which you're also listening to now, was put together by Tani and Shemilore Oludipe. To watch videos of this recording, please visit faithfoundation.org/podcast and also the Faith Foundation YouTube channel. Remember to join us next week Friday for an all new episode. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.